You know, last July or so, Pastor Chappell approached me and he said, I want you to do a session at our staff orientation in August. And he said, I want you to talk to us about what keeps you in the ministry. Our theme was going to be revealed at that time to our staff, the theme of renew. And he said, well, I guess just talk to us about what keeps you in the ministry, what keeps you in the battle. How do you personally stay renewed? And I took some time to think about that and contemplate that. And quite frankly, I don't really have an answer to that. I don't humanly know what the answer to that question is. I know that physically, I am deteriorating. As I've gotten older, I've realized with every passing day that I can't do physically what I did when I was your age, or what I did 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago. The psalmist said, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Even in my youth, even in days when I would have considered myself physically fit, as we might say, God says it's all empty. So physically, I know that I'm not really being renewed. Charles Barkley said, old age has never lost a game. And we're all fighting a losing battle when it comes to the physical. We're going to return to the dust. Physically, we're dying. When I think about renewal mentally, I'm forgetting more stuff all the time. Some of you forget things, and you're still young. Your brain is still relatively empty. Reminds me of the president of Harvard, who was given credit for Harvard becoming a storehouse of knowledge. And he was being introduced at a banquet, and they said, this man is a storehouse. He's made Harvard a storehouse of knowledge. And the president got up and he said, well, he said, I don't know that I should take the credit for that. He said, the reason that Harvard is a storehouse of knowledge is because freshmen bring so much knowledge in and seniors take so little out. But mentally, I understand that I don't have the sharpness and the quickness to my mind that I once possessed. I forget things if I don't write them down. I'm prone to put things aside and not remember them. Emotionally, I have some good days. I was in a great mood Monday night after we won that game. Last night, I wasn't in such a good mood. It's hard to lose a game like that. Your emotions, you know, with lots of things vary in life. Some days you just wake up and you feel like you're in a good mood. You didn't know reason for it really, but somebody can just look at you wrong and that's over, you know. All of a sudden you're not in such a good mood. And spiritually, we all know that we're prone to wander. Spiritually, I don't think any of us would say we've got it all together. And so as the psalmist said, my flesh and my heart faileth me. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, we're really fighting a losing battle. Isaiah said, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. We are like grass. We are withering. We are dust returning to dust. So what is our hope of renewal? Well, look at verse 21 of Lamentations 5. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 21, the second to the last verse in this book written by Jeremiah. He said, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." What is our hope? Well, our hope's not in our physical ability. Our hope is not in our emotional stability. Our hope is not in our spiritual revival even. Our hope is ultimately in the Lord. If we're going to have renewal of our mind and our heart and our life for God, as this theme this year is emphasizing, that renewal is going to have to come from the Lord. I don't know if this will be preaching. I think it'll be more teaching. But I'd like you to write some things down. I'm going to give you 7 daily disciplines to personal renewal. How can you personally, in the Lord, renew your strength, renew your mind, renew your spirit? I think we all understand that you get to this point in a semester and you start dragging. I mean, it's a grind. It gets to you. Academically, Dr. R. would have to remind us that our bill is due. We hear these prayer requests, and sometimes we think, wow, you know, the trials, and we kind of know one of them's coming my way one of these days. And we understand that life is, it just kind of wears us down. It zaps us sometimes of our vitality. And while we want to serve the Lord, we want to be excited, and we want to be revived, yet we know that life wears you down. Schedules, difficulties, trials. So what are 7 daily disciplines to personal renewal? Number one, write down the word remember. Remember. Put a semicolon, and then here's what I want you to remember. Remember, God loves you for who you are, not what you do. God loves you for who you are, not what you do. When you guys obey the rules here at West Coast, we like you. When you guys volunteer for, you know, some job or some ministry, we love you. When you guys have a good spirit and, you know, when you do the right things in the classroom and you get good grades and, you know, all that kind of stuff, we love you. And you're going to get out in the ministry and people are going to love you for what you do. You're going to preach a sermon and people say, "Oh, Pastor, that was awesome. Man, that was a great message." You're going to be a youth pastor and teenagers are going to come up and say, "Oh, man, that was an awesome activity. Thanks, Pastor. Man, that was great." They're going to thank you for taking them to camp. They're going to thank you as a teacher for, you know, playing with them at recess or, you know, talking to their mom so they didn't get a spanking at home when they got home or whatever. They're going to love you for what you do. But you better come back to God and understand that He loves you for who you are. Because otherwise, life is going to get real hollow. Because there are going to be some days when you mess up. And when you mess up, all of a sudden nobody loves you. Nobody appreciates you. All of a sudden, the youth activity didn't go the way it was supposed to go. The bus broke down, and we didn't even get to the activity. All of a sudden, you made a mistake in the classroom, or you graded the test wrong, or you didn't handle the parent properly, or the sermon didn't quite go like you thought, or you made some mistakes, and all of a sudden, people are going to turn on you. They're going to criticize. They're going to complain, and you've got to remember that God loves you for who you are. Not what you do. Because if you're going to be renewed by the applause, if you're going to be renewed by the thank you cards, if your renewal is going to come from somebody slapping you on the back and telling you you did a good job, there's going to be some days where you're going to get pretty low. But remember that Christ loves us even while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. You see, he loves us for who we are. He loved us before we did anything for him. He loved us before we even knew him. God, who is rich in mercy, with a great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And aren't you glad that God has promised he'll never leave us or forsake us? God loves you for who you are. What you do will vary. Some days you'll do a good job. Some days you'll do a poor job. Some days you'll be productive. Some days you'll be unproductive. But God loves you no matter what. So remember. Number two, write down the word refuel. Refuel. And put a semicolon and write this phrase. Take in as much as you give out. Refuel. Take in as much as you give out. You're starting to understand this, and there's no question about it. When you get into ministry, whether it's here in college on the weekend on a bus route, or whether it's game on, or whether it's at Cactus Kids on a Thursday night, whatever you do in ministry, you suddenly begin to realize that it takes something out of you. And whether you're teaching the lesson or you're just trying to keep the kids quiet or you're just trying to rally some people to get on a bus, whatever it is that you're trying to do, it's going to take something out of you. It takes something out of you to preach a sermon. It takes something out of you when you witness to somebody at a door and you enter into that battle over somebody's soul. It takes something out of you to counsel people. I'll be honest with you, it takes something out of you to fellowship. I think sometimes people look at the ministry and they go, man, all you people do is sit around and drink coffee and talk to people. Fellowship is hard work. And ministry takes something out of you. I don't understand this passage of Scripture completely. I don't understand exactly what it means. But you remember the woman with the issue of blood? She had suffered many things and many physicians. She had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. The Bible said she had this condition for 12 years. She had gone to all these doctors, nothing. And so she hears of Jesus, and he's coming her way. And so she comes through the press of people, and she's thinking in her mind, if I can get close enough just to touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. And the story is given to illustrate great faith. Because she's saying in her mind, if I can just touch this man's clothes, there's miraculous power in this man, and I'll be healed. And of course, you know the story. She gets there, and she touches the hem of his garment, and Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are, you know, they're trying to keep the people back, and they're saying, "Lord, what are you talking about? Who touched you? There people are everywhere." And Jesus said, no, he's looking about to see her that had touched him. And the woman came at his feet and told him all the truth. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. But there's a little phrase just before that that says, when Jesus perceived that virtue had gone out of him. As soon as she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus knew that something had gone out of him. Now, I don't know exactly what that means because I can't relate to Jesus Christ as God. There was a miraculous power in him that was required when he did a miracle. I don't know anything about that. But I know that when you do ministry, something goes out of you. I don't know if it's the same as what went out of Jesus Christ in this miraculous power that was given, but I know this, when you minister to people in whatever form, there's something that goes out of you as you serve. And that something has to be put back in. If you're involved in a ministry where you're preaching, And some of you are. You're preaching every week. Some of you are teaching a lesson every week. Some of you are working with children and you're counseling them and so on. You better be putting some of the Word of God into your life. Because every time you preach, the Word of God is going out. Every time you teach a lesson, the Word of God is going out. So whatever you give out has got to be put back in. Some of you are involved with people in your ministry. If you're on that bus route, it's kind of hard to avoid them. You know, there's just not too many seats without them. And if you find a seat without them, they usually find the seat you're in. It's hard to avoid people in the bus ministry. It's hard to avoid people in the children's ministry. It's hard to avoid people if you're trying to preach to people. People are part of the ministry. They are the ministry. Well, if you're around people, you've got to get some time alone. You've got to have some solitude. Because people will pull things out of you. You've got to put something back in. If your ministry involves physical energy, and a bus ministry or Cactus Kids would require some physical energy, then you've got to get some rest. Now, if your ministry involves more of a mental fatigue, some of you have ministry or work where you're working with computers or you're designing or you're writing or things like that, then you need some physical activity. You've got to put back in what's going out. Refuel. You got to know where the gas stations are. Because your car can't just run forever. You've got to figure out, where am I going to get some fuel? You drive across Utah and you get on I-70 there, get off the 15, and you start heading east on I-70. You would be wise to get gas in Richfield. Because there's a sign on that highway that says the next gas is 110 miles. Now, unless you're pretty close to full, there's a chance you might not make it, especially this time of the year where you might hit some snow in those mountains, or you might even have to stop to wait out a storm or some wind or some blizzard conditions. You better get some gas, and when you're coming the other way, when you get to Green River, you better stop and get some gas before you go across that part of the state. And in life, you got to figure out, where are the gas stations? Where are my refueling stops? Where's my time when I get alone with God in the morning and pray and seek His face? Where's my time during the day where I can catch a minute with the Lord or catch a minute for myself? Because what you give out has to be put back in. Number three, the word review. Review. And write three words here to review. Priorities, peripheral, and pollution. Priorities, peripheral, and pollution. Every day, every few days, you need to look at your schedule. You need to look at your to-do list. Hopefully you have one. Hopefully you have a calendar. Hopefully you have something whereby you're looking at, okay, I've got these projects coming up. I've got to be at this time for my ministry. Tomorrow I'm going to go on this thing to San Diego. I got to get up. I got to get up early. I got to get something to eat. And I got to get on that bus. And we all have a schedule. We all have some priorities. And look at that list and say, what on this list is priority? Review that. What has God called me to do? That's a priority. I would think school right now is a priority. I know for me, teaching classes is a priority. It's part of what God's called me to do. So you're here as a student. You're here for an education. Don't, you've got to look at that from time to time. You've got to say, man, I've got these projects coming up. I've got these classes to get prepared for. I've got things that I've got to do that are important to what God has called me to do. Then review your peripheral. There are probably some things right now in your life that you'd like to do. There are probably some things that you need to do, but there's no time demand. At some point, I need to get it done, but it doesn't have to be done today. It doesn't have to be done this week. I need to get it done, but I don't have to do it right now. It's peripheral. It may become a priority, but it's not a priority today. So you got to review your priorities. What do I have to do today? I've got to read my Bible today. I've got to go to class today. This week, I've got to go soul winning. I've got to share the gospel. I'm scheduled at this ministry. I've got to get there. I've got to go to my job. Those are priorities. Review them. Then review the peripheral. I'd like to do this. I will need to do this at some point, but not right now. And then review the pollution. What is just wasted time or energy? What is non-essential? What has no bearing on my life or my calling? It's just stuff. Oftentimes it's unplanned, it's unscheduled. Review your pollution. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. The psalmist said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You've got to review your day. You've got to review your schedule. You've got to review what God has given into your life and figure out what's a priority, what's a peripheral, what's a pollution. Number four, the word reconcile. Reconcile. Remember, refuel, review, reconcile. Two areas to reconcile. Number one, reconcile with people swiftly. Reconcile with people swiftly. Can I give you a key to living a renewed life every day? Don't let problems between people linger. If there's something between you and another person that isn't right, it might be a person that's here in your room or in your class. It might be somebody back home. It might be somebody from a long time ago, but I'm telling you, it'll zap your energy the longer you let it go. It'll steal your fervor. It'll take away your focus. Reconcile with people swiftly. Jesus said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. In other words, something goes wrong, but in a relationship, something goes wrong between a friend, a roommate, a teacher, a coworker. Get it settled quickly. It'll zap you. It'll take your strength. It'll take your focus. It'll take your fervency. Reconcile with people swiftly. Secondly, reconcile problems scripturally. You will wear yourself out in ministry if you try to handle things humanly. And you're working with children, you're working in ministries, teenagers, you're working in these areas even now. And you're gonna have people that have problems. And if you're not careful, you'll try to humanly figure it out or humanly manipulate it or kind of humanly referee the situation. What is the biblical solution? You know, the biblical solution usually involves confession, repentance, restitution, reconciliation, restoration. Go through the biblical principles, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. When you come up against problems, as you deal with people in ministry, reconcile those problems scripturally. See, when you use the Bible on problems, it puts all the solution on them. It doesn't put the solution on you. The solution is going to be dependent on what they do with the scripture. If the solution is you need to repent of sin, it's on them. You need to make this right with your wife, or you need to make this right with your parents. It's on them. and use the scriptural principle to solve the problem. If you say, well, let me see if I can work on this, or let me see if I can, you know, figure this out, or, well, now it's all on you. Now you've got the problem. The monkey's on you, as we would say. And we've got to take the word of God and deal with problems. So reconcile with people swiftly, with problems scripturally. Number five, require. Require. And here's the phrase to write after the word require. Higher disciplines must dominate human desires. Higher disciplines must dominate human desires. You know what the truth is? The truth is we'd all like to sleep in tomorrow. Truth is we'd all like to be asleep right now. The truth is we'd all like to take 2 hours for lunch. We'd all like to just take the afternoon and chill. Just get on the phone and yak with a friend. Tomorrow, the truth is we'd all like to stop at Starbucks for a couple hours on our way soul winning. Truth is we'd all like to just kind of check out a few websites on the internet. And the Bible says all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. We think, this is how we think as human beings, and we have to fight this. We think that we need physical, mental, emotional, and even spiritual vacations. We think, man, I just got to get away. Man, I just got to get some time. Man, I've been so busy and I'm just exhausted. And I just need a break. And we think that we need physical, emotional, mental, and even spiritual vacations. But the truth is, those breaks deplete us rather than renew us. Vacations are way overrated. You come back tireder than you were when you left. You're practically worn out. You know, you go back to your room and just close your eyes. And then you look at your to-do list again and you're buried. Let me tell you something. There's a renewed energy that comes with completing a task. Don't you feel good when you get that project done? And you just... Man, it's out of the way. Check that baby off. Done. Erase. Delete. Finished. Tetelestai. You know, some cases Jehovah Jireh. But there's something renewing about getting a job done. When you consume your time with non-essentials, your to-do list is going to bury you quickly. See, we think, I'll just take a nap and then I'll get to it. I'll just take the afternoon and then tonight I'll burn the midnight oil. It never works. It never works. Satisfying your human desires will never give you the energy for the higher disciplines. So turn it around. Reward your higher disciplines with the human desires. In other words, if I get this done, I'm going to the GA and getting a cup of coffee. Rather than, I'm just going to go get a cup of coffee and then I'll work on that. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to deplete you of your energy. So use that human desire that's not sinful to get a cup of coffee, but say, okay, when I get this done, I'm going to read the sports page. I'm going to check my phone and see who won. You've got the human desires. You've got those things you want to do, that you'd like to do, but do the higher disciplines. Get those done. There's an energy that comes with it, with getting it done, and then reward it with the human desire. Require. Higher disciplines must dominate human desires. Number six, remain. Remain. I'm going to give you three words here in a minute, but I think you're figuring out that life is a marathon, not a sprint. God says we're to run with patience the race that's set before us. The word patience there has the idea of endurance. In other words, it's not a quick sprint. It's not, a few seconds. It's not a 100-meter dash, life isn't. It's a marathon. So remain, number one, committed. Remain committed. The gifts and calling of God without repentance. God isn't changing his mind about your life. Look, if he led you here to West Coast Baptist College, remain committed. It gets hard. You run out of energy. So do we. We all get tired. We all get weary in the battle. We all run out of resources sometimes. But God says, run with patience. God, I'm not changing my mind just because you have a trial or just because you're tired. What's the alternative to God's will? Disobedience. If God's called me to preach, then to not do it is disobedience. If God's called me to Bible college, then I would be disobedient to God to leave. So remain committed. Secondly, remain content. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Contentment is not based on your circumstances. Contentment is based on your circumstances. Resources. You ever see people that have terrible circumstances that are just fine with it? Going through a horrible trial and yet they have peace? People that are handicapped and people that have loved ones that die of cancer and people go through horrible circumstances and yet they seem to be such great Christians. Why? Because your contentment is not based on your circumstances. People with billions of dollars are not happy. So your contentment is not based on your circumstances. Your contentment is based on your resources in Christ. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So remain committed, remain content. Thirdly, remain compassionate. The love of Christ constraineth us. Your love for God will keep you in love with the ministry. Your love for God will keep you in love with being in school. Your love for God will keep you in love with the people you have to work with. Stay compassionate. Remain compassionate. Don't lose your fervency in your love for Christ. Remain. And finally, number seven, rejoice. Rejoice. And put this down after the word rejoice, because it's important what we rejoice in. And people can get happy when they get $1,000 in the mail. People can get happy when they have good health. People can get happy when they lead somebody to the Lord. But put this down. Rejoice in your faithfulness, not in your fruitfulness. We're talking about being renewed so we can stay in the battle. Rejoice in your faithfulness, not in your fruitfulness. Can I tell you a little secret? You're never going to be as fruitful as you think you want to be. If you ask Dr. Rasmus or Dr. Goddard, have you accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish in ministry, they would tell you no. Dr. Rasmus is a wonderful soul winner, but there's a lot of people he hasn't been able to win to the Lord that he sure tried. He did everything he knew to do. He's gone back again and again and again and tried. And you know what happens when we try and try and try and nothing happens? We get discouraged. And we need to rejoice in our faithfulness, not in our fruitfulness. Because you're not always going to be fruitful as you think you could be or want to be. We all have big dreams. We all have things that, boy, I can't wait till I do this. And it's not wrong to hope, and it's not wrong to plan, and it's not wrong to dream. But we can't guarantee that all those things are going to happen. But we can guarantee that we're going to be faithful. We can promise ourselves, I'm going to stay in this battle. I'm going to stay focused. You're going to burn out if you focus on results. The truth is, you don't know what the results are going to be. Jeremiah, who wrote this book of Lamentations, he preached his whole life without results. But he was faithful. He was faithful. So seven daily disciplines. Let's just review and we'll go. Remember. Remember God loves you for who you are, not what you do. Refuel. Take in as much as you give out. Three, review. Review your priorities, your peripheral, and your pollution. Number four, reconcile. Reconcile with people swiftly and reconcile problems scripturally. Number five, require that the higher disciplines dominate the human desires. Number six, remain. Remain committed. Remain content. Remain compassionate. And then rejoice. Rejoice in your faithfulness, not in your fruitfulness. Oh, God will give you fruit. And when he does, thank him and rejoice in it. But rejoice that you were faithful. Listen, if you go out soul winning tomorrow and you do your best to knock on some doors and tell people about Christ and nobody responds and nobody gets saved, you can come back rejoicing. Because you did what God asked you to do. You were obedient to the Lord. If you preach this Sunday and nobody responds, but you were faithful, rejoice in that faithfulness. Oh, if somebody comes down and gets saved, boy, thank God. Praise the Lord. But rejoice that you were faithful. Rejoice that you were faithful. Because that's what God's looking for. I hope that helps you a little bit. Because we're in the time of the semester we need some renewal. We need to refresh a little bit. We need to get back in the saddle. Keep going. Renew, renew, renew. Got to have it. And I don't know that we can do it physically. I don't know we can do it in ourselves by pumping ourselves up and psyching ourselves up to go to class fifth hour. I don't think it's in us. But the verse says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Let the Lord do the renewing